And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Like, you know, making common sense like a superpower, saving the world one soundbite at a time, just making it cool to be a conservative, all that stuff. All right. Hey, I got a couple of text messages and then we'll switch gears. Let's see what we got here. Jeff Mindiana says, like I said before on school choice, just like the highway system, government should be paying for schools, not running them. Then you would have true competition, and the teachers' union will have a whole lot less power. Interesting point, brother. George C. from Harvest says, I don't know what you're telling me, George. Oh, PLF. Is that a parachute landing fall you're talking about? Anyway, George and Harvest. All right. Hold up. All right. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. All right. David from Huntsville says, think the federal government will sue the state of Alabama for the school voucher bill or the false premise of separation of church and state? No, I don't think so. I think it's already proven to be something a matter of state law that can take up. And there's other states that have been doing this for longer than we have. So I really don't think it will go down that road. Dustin from Hazel Green. Let's see here. It's a long text. So let me see. He's asking about Biden and McConnell. If you heard the story earlier, I said there's breaking news. Mitch McConnell has announced that he is not going to be remaining in his Senate leadership position. He's not retiring from the Senate. He's just stepping down from being Senate majority or minority leader. He says, good afternoon, Phil. I'm only 37, so my experience is limited. I'd say you've got some world experience, bro. He says, I'm only 37, but I've seen enough to know it's never pretty when people nearly a century old are in office. What are your thoughts about age limits, pros and cons? Or would it be preferable to require some sort of a mandatory testing of cognitive ability at X age over just flat out rejecting anyone X age and older? I've never heard a good thorough argument for or against, but with train wrecks like Biden and McConnell, I've definitely seen why there could be one. Have a good day, gentlemen. Hey, Dustin, great question. So just know this. We do have something that has been upheld, that has been in place for quite a while. In Alabama, if you are a judge, you age out. You cannot stay in office as a state-appointed judge. Now, federal judges can. They're different. But a state judge elected to office, I think the age is 70, and you have to have attained the age of 70 before your election. Or if you attain the age, I'm not going to say it this way. If you're 70, you can't run for re-election. How about that? You can finish out a term if you turn 70 during the term. That's what I'm trying to say. So what I'm trying to say there is, yeah, we got one place in our law where we have an age limit. And then there's also really the question of, once you set an age limit, just understand that that may not necessarily apply. I've run across people, you know, that you look at them and think, okay, they look like they're 30 years older than they are. They're in horrible shape and they're mentally just not conditioned, and they shouldn't even be out there, you know, with walking around sense, much less being a judge or being a politician or whatever the case may be. I think it's a matter of capability, cognitive capability. I believe that some of what we're seeing right now in elected office, we're talking about people who have the highest level of security clearance. Keep in mind, if you're the Senate minority leader, you're not just out there voting on the laws and you know, passing legislation and negotiating budgets. You are privy to the greatest secrets this nation has. If you're president of the United States, not only are you privy to every secret, but you also carry the nuclear codes in your pocket, literally in your pocket. You have, you know, decisions about life and death. There should absolutely be some measure of cognitive assessment that is required. Think about this. If somebody wants to go, let's find an example. If somebody wants to be an Army Green Beret, Special Forces, they are required to go through psychiatric testing. You don't just walk in off the street and go, yep, want to be a Green Beret. How many push-ups can you do? Oh, plenty. You're in. They don't do that. They test you for leadership acumen. They test you for, of course, for technical and tactical proficiency. They test you for the details of whatever your specialty is going to be, like whether it's weapons or you know, demolitions or communications or medical. But then they also assess you for your capabilities, like how well you work with people, what your psychological profile is. Are you somebody who's like prone to violence, or are you somebody who can be well-reasoned and deal with stress? Why would we not do that for the president of the United States? Why will we not require that past a certain age for leadership in our House and Senate who make decisions about life and death and pass laws and handle billions and billions of dollars in decision-making? And oh, by the way, are privy to massive secrets of national security level. So, if the Speaker of the House is, one of those in line for the presidency, should there be a major incident, why should the Speaker of the House not also be subject to these? And yet Nancy Pelosi was obviously a loose cannon. Now, she's 82 years old. She's sharper than a lot of 82-year-olds. I know some other 82-year-olds, though, that could run rings around her. And I know some 62-year-olds that should never be, given the wheel of a car, much less handle national secrets. So I just went on a little diatribe there, but Dustin, your question just really provoked me. That was really good. And I really think that there should be, at some point, consideration given to true measure of cognitive assessment. How you do that, I don't know. Third party, detached, or do you let them just say they had a test and wink, wink, nod, nod, how'd it go? Went great. All right, Phil Williams, Lightside Radio. We'll come right back and hit number two on the triple dipper, double standards. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Lightside Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Most beautiful. I mean, I'm talking right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, in all that ground that we cover, you might want to consider something. If you indeed are a right-side ruffian yourself, and you sell goods and services of some kind, you got your own business or whatever, well, just understand this. Between all the stations that we're on, covering over half the state, there's a whole bunch of right-side ruffians that might want to buy your goods and services, literally. And so if you want a captive audience of people that want to support people like you, then you may want to advertise on Right Side Radio. And so it's pretty easy. You contact us directly. You don't call the station per se. You contact us directly. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. You click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will contact you immediately. And she will do all she can to help you find a way to become a part of the Right Side team. We'd love to have you. Rightsideradio.org. Advertise with Right Side Radio. We'd love to get you on the team. All right, next dipper. And by the way, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we switch gears and go to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. But right now I'm on a dipper called double standards. Do we have a double standard in the legal system? Think about it. Is there a two-tiered justice system? Are we in that place right now where, dang, it's just good to be a Democrat? I mean, if you're on the left, do you get a pass? Well, there is clear evidence that yes, that's the case. Now, I'm an attorney. I don't practice criminal law. I never have. I never wanted to. But I see what's happening. I have a better than average understanding of the legal system. I know what a burden of proof is. I know what, probable cause is. I know what reasonable suspicion is. I know what it means to bring a case. I know you're allowed some prosecutorial discretion. But dang, y'all, I look at what's happening around the nation right now and I think, what is wrong with y'all? How do you think you can just possibly get away with throwing the book at a conservative who did something that was like negligible or at the very least compares with what was done by somebody on the left who got nothing, nothing whatsoever. All charges dropped. Thank you. Mr. Antifa, go on your way. It'll be fine. Here's what sparked this for me. Story broke yesterday afternoon. Got this one from Daily Wire. Daily Wire, and I love the fact this came from California. Whoop, whoop, California, there is hope. By the way, we do know that one of our biggest audiences on the podcast version of Right Side Radio is from California. And so, yes, all of you out there on the left coast, we love you. Hold the line. But in the meantime, look at this. So this is a ruling by Judge Cormac Carney from the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California, who wants to know why the prosecution decided to press charges against right-wing extremists in a big fight, but not the left-wing extremists who were in the fight with them. I've never seen this before. Judge Carney even went so far as to attach photographs to his order. That makes them part of the record, by the way. He attached photographs from the event in question to it. I've never seen that. In 20 years of practicing law, I have never seen that happen. Storyline here says, a Daily Wire, a judge in California threw out the charges against two far-right political agitators, saying the federal government engaged in selective prosecution by charging right-wing rioters but not the far-left agitators they fought against, who did the exact same thing. So, by the way, these weren't necessarily good guys, all right? They were part of, and this is Daily Wire talking, so if they're saying they were right-wing extremists and perhaps white nationalists, okay, they probably were. But they were fighting against a group called BAMN, B-A-M-N, that stands for By Any Means Necessary. It's a group that specialized in going to wherever conservative and right-wingers were gathering to try and make trouble, literally to provoke a fight. So these two guys, Robert Rundo and Robert Bowman, they attended a pro-Donald Trump free speech rally on April 15th of 2017. 2017, 7 years ago. As members of Rise Against the Movement, which is called RAM, a far-right white nationalist group. And this was not, by the way, this is a rough group. They would go looking for fights too. But Antifa and related far-left groups, it says, decided they needed to shut down that rally, and they came prepared for violence. They brought weapons, including pepper spray, fireworks, knives, and homemade bombs, said the judge. And they used those weapons, as well as their bodies, against Trump supporters and law enforcement. Well, Judge Carney objected to the idea that federal prosecutors would only charge the right-wing participants, even though the left-wingers performed identical conduct or worse at the same event, which prosecutors' own evidence even acknowledged. I mean, he calls this clear viewpoint discrimination, which the law does not allow. He says, to put it simply, RAM and Antifa, which both appear to use violence to silence protected speech, are identical in material respects. The only difference is their speech and beliefs. So what he's basically saying is the Antifa-style group showed up. They had a plan to be rowdy and to cause a fight, tear things up, not allow people to have free speech. The same is true of the right-wing side. They showed up. They were prepared for a fight. They were looking for it. They were spoiling for a fight. They got one. Guess who got charged? Just the right wing. And the judge is having none of it. The judge threw out the charges. The judge says, if you're going to have this level of viewpoint discrimination, then I have no choice but to dismiss this case. Good for you, Judge. But I have to ask you, is there a two-tier justice system? I mean, the poster child for that is Hunter Biden right now, right? Hunter Biden, son of the president. Crackhead, you know, just a complete cheat when it comes to his taxes. Pictures of himself with hookers and doing drugs together and, you know, bragging about how he bought a, you know, expensive sports car and did 140 miles an hour down the interstate to get to Vegas so he could blow some of the money that he got from China. Hunter Biden, given a sweetheart deal, until the judge saw it and said, what is this? I've never seen anything like this before. It appears, the judge said, that you are actually trying to exonerate him from any potential future crimes. Why would that be? And the deal fell apart, and suddenly Hunter had to deal with it. By the way, Hunter Biden is actually being deposed right now on Capitol Hill. There's that. But look at this. I got two stories here. Which one do I want to go with? I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with this one first. January 29th. So this came out just a couple weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. 3.5 weeks ago. How long ago? Last month. As a former Trump senior advisor, Peter Navarro faces a prison sentence for flouting a congressional subpoena. One prominent legal expert is calling foul, pointing out what he sees as a double standard. So Peter Navarro, you may remember him. He worked for the Trump administration. He served in the White House. When Congress sent him a subpoena under Nancy Pelosi, he blew it off. He chose not to answer. He just got 4 months in prison and fined $9,500. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden blew off a subpoena, chose not to show up. He actually showed up on the Senate side that day, gave his own speech, and then left. Talk about blowing it off. He not only blew it off, he came and gave him a stiff middle finger. I mean, he didn't just He didn't just say, I've got other things to do. I'm not going to be there that day. He showed up, gave his own statement, and left. Nothing. Not a thing. So Peter Navarro goes to jail. Hunter Biden gets a free pass on the exact same thing. And then you have to look at the sweetheart deal that Hunter was given in July of 2023 and how that unraveled, but nobody else would have gotten that deal. But I think one of the most egregious stories that I've seen that says that we have a two-tiered justice system. Story on the Washington Examiner, February 4th. Six pro-life demonstrators were found guilty that week of conspiracy in violating a federal law against blocking abortion clinics. What did they do? Did they go down there and burn the place down? No. Did they go down there and commit violent acts? No. What did they do? Well, they made a plan, and they showed up, and they tried to block the door and pray. Wow. They're facing 11 years in prison. Maximum of 10 and a half years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, fines of up to $260,000. The pro-life activists were convicted of civil rights conspiracies as well as violating what is called the FACES Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. Looking at a maximum of 10 and a half years in prison, 3 years supervised release, fines of up to $260,000, the possibility of this time in jail is built largely upon the conspiracy charge. What did they conspired? Yes. They actually got together, six of them did, on the other side of the state line, pre-planned what they were going to do, and then they went to do it. Horrors. Meanwhile, you got to look at it and go, okay, so the pro-Hamas crowds that block major highways and airport entrances and exits and trap motorists and pedestrians in gridlock for hours on end, they can do that and nobody says a word. Or how about this example? When the Supreme Court, when the leak came out that they were going to wind up overturning Roe v. Wade, what happened? We had protests at the actual homes of the justices, despite the fact that federal statute bars the intimidation of judges. In fact, the DOJ was slow to do anything on that, if you remember, until Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, had a man actually try to show up and said he was there to kill the justice. How about Portland, Oregon? Remember that? Portland, Oregon, left-wing Antifa agitators laid siege to the federal courthouse for weeks. They had to shut down the courthouse. They were at war at night on the streets with federal troops. Well, actually, it's federal police. Nearly half of all the Portland protest-related cases brought by the Justice Department were just dismissed automatically. Just dismissed. And yet, pro-lifers are facing 11 years in jail for praying in front of the door of an abortion clinic. You got the congressional staffer who filmed himself having gay sex in one of the Senate hearing rooms. Filmed it. He filmed it there on purpose because he thought it would be cool to have the Senate, you know, seal on the wall behind him. Conservative critics argue that pro-life activists may spend up to 11 years in prison for just praying and singing hymns outside of an abortion clinic. Lopsided justice, it says. I agree. Well, listen, that's where we are right now. And yeah, there are times when you look at it and go, dang, it must be good to be a Democrat. Well, you have to wonder, though, is there anything coming? Are we going to see this change? Well, I will say this. There's been a little bit of forum selection. Some of these cases are brought in places where Democrats know they control the bench. But we're starting to see a shift, not the least of which is on our Supreme Court. When we come back from this break, I'll tell you about a case right now that could actually wind up unraveling some of the January 6th stuff that even affects Trump. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I mean, there's so many things going on. I got this topic I'm doing right now called double standards. And I, you know, you got to look at the Fannie Willis thing over in Georgia. I mean, think about this. Fannie Willis is the prosecutor who brought charges against 18 people, including Donald Trump. And a part of what she's saying is that there has been part of the charges involved basically fraudulent conduct, misrepresentations, things that that tried to purvey a mistruth upon the government. What is Fannie up in trouble with right now? Oh, that's right, misrepresenting to the court, filing documents that may not have been true. And perhaps even we may find that there has been some collateral gain for her financially, as she and her paramour, made lots and lots of money prosecuting this case against 18 different people, including Donald Trump. We'll find out. Two-tiered system? Sounds like it. How about this? Jack Smith, who is the special counsel assigned to investigate and then prosecute President Trump regarding his handling of classified documents. Well, so recently we had special counsel Robert Hur come out with his report about Biden's mishandling of classified documents, who just said, yeah, he did willfully mishandle them, but he's just an old man with a poor memory, and we're not going to prosecute. What? Meanwhile, Jack Smith, story here on Fox News, he says, no. The cases are not the same. Says in a 12-page filing Monday trying to counter Trump's motion to dismiss the indictments, that basically you got special counsel Jack Smith saying, this is not even remotely similar to how President Biden handled his sensitive net. What are you talking about? First of all, you got the documents were secured at Mar-a-Lago and guarded, oh, by the way, by Secret Service. You've got Biden, who's been pilfering classified documents away from whatever office he was in, all the way back to being a senator, and then leaving them in desk drawers at his house and in boxes next to his Corvette in the garage. And now granted, I don't know if it's worthy of prosecution, but I don't think it's worthy of prosecution for Trump either. And if you're going to look at one guy and go, well, you know, just no charges. We're not going to bring charges. We're just going to let it go. How do you then do it against the other guy? Well, if you got a two-tiered justice system. But here's the thing. I wanted you guys to know, as a word of encouragement, and I don't know what's going to mean yet, but we've got a situation right now that could actually wind up being a blessing. So, story here from NBC. Last December, the Supreme Court agreed in mid-December to hear an appeal by a guy named Joseph Fisher. Who's Joseph Fisher? Joseph Fisher is one of those many who have been indicted on charges related to January 6th. Yep, there's a whole bunch of them out there still pending getting their lives back. And so this guy, Joseph Fisher, is asking for a charge against him to be dismissed. The charge is he's accused of obstructing an official proceeding. Now, apparently he assaulted a police officer in the process of January 6th, too, so he may not see anything done with that charge. He may have to face some music on that charge. But the other one about obstructing an official proceeding, well, the Supreme Court decided that they would hear that, and it kind of caught everybody off guard. Wait a minute. You will? Yes, we will. Supreme Court agrees to hear it, and it says here that the only provision that's at issue before the court is 18 U.S.C. 1512, paragraph C2, which basically criminalizes efforts to corruptly obstruct, influence, or impede an official proceeding. Penalties up to 20 years in prison, y'all. The thing is, where does that provision of the law come from? It was a part of what's known as the Sarbanes-Oxley Act that was passed in the aftermath of the Enron accounting scandal back in the early 2000s. It's never even been conceived to apply to what they're trying to apply it to now. They carved out a novel interpretation of a prior legal standard that doesn't seem to have bearing. It's being appealed. Why does this matter? Story from last week, Supreme Court case that could upend Trump's trial gets a new date. Yeah, so what we're saying is, in April, the Supreme Court's going to hear these oral arguments on this case, and 1,201 people who have been charged with the same thing, including President Trump, may find out those charges are being dropped, and it needs to happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.